Hello, and welcome to Inspec Tech, the evident, non-destructive testing podcast. My name is Émilie Péloquin, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. This podcast is all about NDT and the incredible people that work into our industry. I've been in this industry for just over a decade now, and I'm still amazed by the incredible people that I get to work with and how tightly this community is connected. On this show, I have the chance to welcome experts from the field to chat about everything and anything from challenging applications to new trends and even tips and tricks on how to improve your NDT game. I hope you'll enjoy the unique insight that our guests are sharing with us and that it will inspire others to also want to help in making this world a safer place. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of receiving not just one, but two guests from SkyGauge Robotics, Nikita Ilushkin and Alex Merck. Nikita is the Chief Commercial Officer at SkyGauge Robotics. Since 2016, his team reinvented how drones fly to expand the commercial application of drones. Under his guidance, the team focused on ultrasonic testing at height as the first use case of this technology. These inspections traditionally require workers to use high-risk methods like rope access or scaffolding. So he saw that by using SkyGauge drones, these jobs could be not only performed much faster, like 5 to 20 times faster, but also in a safer manner because workers can now stay on the ground. He assembled an elite group of drone pilots, UT inspectors, and industrial clients to help bring the SkyGauge drone to market. His discussion with all stakeholders have given him a comprehensive understanding to safely implement this technology at the industrial sites. As for Alex, he is the NDT brain. He has spent 12 years in the NDT industry, working for various NDT equipment manufacturers, both domestically and internationally, in sales and business development. His time in the industry has brought him in contact with every market sector around the globe. And in doing so, Alex now has a unique perspective on developing solutions that are customer-focused. He has a passion for NDT, and he saw how SkyGauge can be revolutionizing the NDT industry. So he jumped at the opportunity to join the innovative and dynamic team that they have assembled. So I hope that you'll enjoy this conversation with my two guests, Nikita and Alex. Nikita and Alex, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
It's always a bit, it can be chaotic with two guests. So I'll do my very best to kind of address one question to one person after the other. But I appreciate to have you both on because, you know, I think you have very different background and different ways that you can share your knowledge with us. So I guess, as you may know, my first question for my guests on the show is always how they ended up finding about NDT as a career, because it's such a niche industry. So maybe we can start with you, Alex, because I know that you have kind of a little bit more targeted NDT background, but how'd you ended up finding about non-destructive testing?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a very bizarre route that I took to get into NDT. I had finished my four-year undergrad in university and was planning on going to law school. And
oh, really?
About a month before I was to start, I decided that I did not want to be a lawyer, and so I started working at a performance motor builder out of Spokane, Washington, and I was sort of lost. And a friend of mine who worked for a company called Uniwest out of Pasco, Washington, called me up and said, "Alex, I work in an industry that I think you would really enjoy and really like. Could you come down to our office and tour it? And maybe we have a future for you." So I did, and I went down and learned about eddy current and ultrasonic manufacturing. And ultimately, they offered me a job of managing the Northeast USA for their account management and sales role. And 4 months later, I moved to Cleveland, Ohio. And that's been where my home is. I fell in love with NDT shortly thereafter and never looked back.
Wow. So how long have you been in the industry for now?
Oh, man. About 12 years.
That's amazing. That's a cool story. I love it. And so how about you, Nikita? Like, so I know that, you know, your background is obviously very, very different, coming from a different approach and not directly necessarily aware that it would lend into an NDT application. But how did you find out about it for the first time?
I mean, my kind of journey first really started in the final year of university when, with my co-founders, I helped co-found this company. And we really started off with having a very unique drone design. And it was really my responsibility to find out what problem it solved in the market and how it can offer value to people. Mm-hmm. And then through some discovery into different markets, I had kind of stumbled upon this use case of doing ultrasonic thickness measurements. And it kind of ticked off a lot of boxes for me, and it was a very fascinating industry. Instead of really sending workers up on ropes and scaffolding, I found that our drone was actually uniquely qualified towards doing it. Mm-hmm. And then really that really sparked a whole new discovery into non-destructive testing, different forms of non-destructive testing. And it was kind of like a roundabout way of really discovering NDT for me.
Very cool. Yeah. And so speaking of that, like what are, do you think, the advantages of using drone for NDT inspections? Like, why would somebody benefit from doing this instead of, either rope access or another method? Like, what's the main advantages of using your drones for NDT inspection?
I mean, first and foremost, always something that we're seeing at these sites is safety is, of course, paramount. Mm-hmm. So not sending workers up on ropes and scaffolding into confined spaces. We've seen these companies like establishing really solid safety cultures. And that has been a really key value add of just robotics in general, not just drones. And we're seeing like a larger industry push in that direction as well. Additionally, by adopting drones, you can make these jobs much more cost effective because you're limiting the amount of time that the inspection needs to be performed. And something that we've seen is the number one cost factor for these inspections themselves is actually worker time. And additionally, downtime reduction. So eliminating the need for extended downtime for doing ultrasonic testing on structures. So those are kind of some of the three kind of main benefits that we've seen.
I see. And Alex, do you did you see that as well when since you are coming from a more NDT background, when you find out about drone inspection, what was your first take on it? Was it like, because I'm sure some people will do like the is it gonna take my job away? But in reality, it kind of enhances it potentially, or places or make it more secure, as Nikita was saying. So what was your take on it when you first were introduced to it?
It was extremely attractive in that it's a new inspection method, and and it's not a very often that you get to see and be a part of the evolution of an industry in your career. And so that was one of the extreme attractants for me to join SkyGauge. But the other thing is that the drone, it's not something that replaces the inspector. It's mm-hmm. it's a tool that creates an atmosphere for inspectors to work more efficiently and safer, to where the inspector can go home at the end of the day with the knowledge that he continued to do his job and to chase their passion without having to put themselves into a potentially unsafe situation, and then to be more efficient as well. So For me, it's about allowing and putting tools into inspectors' hands that creates that atmosphere.
And so if I'll continue with you, Alex, a little bit. I'm thinking, you know, this is all the positive aspects of drone inspection and how it, you know, again, make it more secure and faster. But what are some of the actual challenges for, you know, NDT inspector that is maybe trying to learn how to use a drone for inspection, or just like what are some of the challenges that an operator can find? You know, I'm sure there'll be some environment challenges, or you know, learning to drive the thing. Maybe sometimes it's not possible sometimes for X and Y reason. So what are those challenges for drone inspection?
No, you hit them on the head there. The environmental challenges are obviously the first challenges that you see, and things that, you know, coming from that the perspective of the inspector, when you're looking at a job, whether it's a tank or a cargo hold on a ship or a windmill, things that normally wouldn't be obstacles or wouldn't be challenges become mm-hmm. challenges. We're looking at wind speed and temperature and dust storms, things that wouldn't normally stop an inspection or wouldn't normally slow down that inspection or having to take that perspective become challenges. But mm-hmm. but the beauty of the drone is that it doesn't it can fly through adverse conditions. The other challenges okay. would be that inspectors are having to learn a new method. They are having to take the knowledge and their expertise in doing the inspection and then learning how to now fly the instrument up to their area of the area that they're inspecting. So that is a factor that has to be considered, but it's not something that's detrimental.
I hear you. So there's potentially more benefits, but of course, sometimes, like in any environmental conditions, you know, it's true if you have a drone, it's true if you don't have a drone. You know, if it's minus 30 outside, it might be a challenge, which we'll discuss a bit more on, you know, how specifically. I know you've done some case studies, so we'll talk about that a bit later too. But now I would be curious to ask, so Nikita, like, when as far as, you know, your specific drone goes, I know there's other drone solutions out there, but what do you feel like is something specific to your drone that makes it better for NDT applications?
Yeah, for sure. Great question. We have really created a fundamentally different type of drone design that flies by tilting the rotors to move while the center body remains stable. And what we've noticed is that this stability is a fundamental prerequisite for doing any type of work that involves contacting a structure. That's why currently we've seen drones mainly being adopted for things like visual inspection and thermography, things that are at a distance, but some things that involve actual physical contact with the structure has to have like a fundamentally different approach to drone design. And really that's where a system like ours comes in, is being able to actually approach a structure, place a sensor into a specific area of the structure, and then log that location and do things like repeatability.
I see. So very precise measurement and, you know, as a human hand would be able to do, you know, spot checking for TML or thickness measurements, because that's really what the drone is capable of doing as of right now, correct? Like it's a point by point thickness measurement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With UT. Okay.
100%. And we've actually validated that with a UT inspector, that we have really discovered no meaningful difference between readings captured via drone versus a hand-tested sample. That's something that we got asked pretty early on, and just having that validation from an NDT inspector that's a veteran in the industry has really been a help.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So talking about some of the case studies that you performed. So one I know was done, I'm not sure if I can name him, but I will. We'll see after. we work often together. So Paul Holloway, who's, you know, industry renowned, doing some amazing work out there. So I don't think he would mind if I would name him here. And I know it's public on your website as well. So I highly recommend listeners to go and check it out on SkyGage's webpage. But so some of your case studies, the one done, as you were mentioning, you know, the drone versus by hand. So what did you find out when you ended up like looking at some of those numbers for maybe cost and inspection time even?
Yeah, for sure. Something that we've seen when comparing it to things like rope access or scaffolding or boom lifts is there's just an order of magnitude in terms of time of inspection to complete the job and cost savings. For time of completion, anywhere upwards of 90 to 95% when compared to something like scaffolding, and cost reductions anywhere up to around 50%.
Wow.
Plus when you compare it to anything like rope access or scaffolding. Scaffolding is definitely even more.
Right.
But yeah, something that has been absolutely astounding to me the more and more I'm exposed into this industry is the amount of cost that goes into making work at heights safe. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of where a lot of the benefits from the drone comes in, as kind of we discussed earlier.
Yeah, I remember talking with an asset owner on this podcast, and he was telling me that scaffolding was one of the most expensive thing on all the project. And I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. Really, just for scaffolding? But the pricing is incredible. But yeah, it's a very expensive cost. And if you can remove that, I can really easily see how it can halve the cost just by that. And you were saying, like, I think I saw on your website for the sky gauge versus the by hand, it was like something like 10 times faster, I think, if memory serves.
Yeah, that's correct. That's kind of what we've seen when we compare it to the existing methods.
Okay.
Definitely even more when you compare it to scaffolding. And funny that you mentioned discussing it with an asset owner. We were demonstrating at a site, and they were saying that they spend upwards of $50 million a year just on scaffolding.
Wow, that's amazing. That's, yeah, so they can see the appeal really quickly of skipping that, at least a good part of it for inspection. So does that thickness measurement, is, you know, often all they need, or are they already asking for a little bit more of, you know, maybe other methods or some screening? Maybe Alex, you might... You might have input on that. Like, are they trying to have like a C scan or, you know, a mapping at this point, or that's not a request that has started yet?
Oh, I mean, coming from the world of sales, it's a constant question. Wanting to add additional methods, whether it's phased array or eddy current or wire brush, at, you know, uses And without getting myself in trouble with our engineer and R&D group, it's something that we're working on constantly, is adding additional features and providing added value to our client base and to the industry at large. We want that. We want to be able to add and grow. And so without getting myself in trouble and revealing our R&D roadmap, I can say that we work on that, and we work directly with our customers to identify the right roadmap forward, so that we are putting features on the drone and additional payloads on the drone that create that additional value.
I see. Yeah. And so maybe you can, I'll continue to ask you maybe, Alex. So that was, you know, to compare with by hand inspection, but in scaffolding, of course. But when it comes to rope access, is that a better avenue for them? Do they find that sometimes it's a cheaper avenue? And how does the SkyGage drone compares to a rope access setup?
Rope access is an interesting and an incredibly complex part of the NDT world. Obviously, there's going to be places where drones can't get to. And so, I mean, one of the biggest questions that I tend to receive is are we trying to replace rope access technicians?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, take infrastructure inspections, for example. There's places where they have to do shear wave where the human hand can barely get a probe or transducer and wedge into. And to get a robot or a drone in there is going to be impossible with any amount of technology. So to me, it's more about being able to add value to the rope access teams. Mm-hmm. And when wind conditions and environmental conditions are too great for the drone, the rope access teams are still going to need to be able to access it. But being able to create an efficient route to complete those inspections is something that we're extremely extremely devoted to as an organization.
Yeah, and I saw also, you know, so again on your website, the case study for rope access, and I guess if all things equal, if you know, all things accessible, I think you are comparing like 3 days using a drone versus 7 days with rope access, which I thought was interesting. I would have thought, you know, oh, I thought maybe the human hand is a little faster of going to those places, and but not necessarily, right? That's what you found out, that it wasn't always the case.
I could talk more to that. When comparing to rope access, what we've seen is majority of the work is really getting access to those specific locations, so making the jobs safe.
I see. Yeah.
For rope access technicians to reach those specific areas. That's really where majority of the work goes, that I would say. Additionally, one of the benefits that we've seen is on the operational side. So for example, with rope access, for every single rope access job, you need a level 3 rope access technician to be there to supervise the job.
Mm-hmm.
And every single rope level 3 must have a minimum of 2,000 hours on ropes. As you can imagine, there's a shortage of people in this industry with that type of a qualification.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a handful, and that's about it. Wow.
And something that we get asked a lot is like, is this going to replace the job?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we are nowhere close to starting to displace people, namely because the world of asset integrity is like, there's still just this massive scope of work that is not being completed. And if there were more efficient, more effective methods to conduct more frequent inspections, like, they would be performed. Yeah, it's going to be a long while before robotics starts displacing people in this domain.
I see what you mean. So it's just, there's a lot we cannot do right now. Doesn't mean it shouldn't be done, and doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to replace taking the job of somebody else. It's just going to need to be applied to more places, or we're just going to do more inspection, which is a good thing because we probably don't do it all right now, if I'm understanding correctly.
That is correct. For example, just a more recent example of this would be like ChatGPT.
Uh-huh.
It's like, we've seen that has limited in terms of like displacement of people in the industry. It's
uh-huh.
made just a lot of people more efficient at their job.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
For example, just having people do much more than they would previously do, simply because they just didn't have enough time to do it.
That's
and,
right.
And yeah, it's the name of the game right now is making people more efficient at their job to do all the work that's been out there that's been needing to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And doing it more safely too.
Yeah,
which
exactly
is
exactly right.
You know, why would you say no to that as an inspector? I think that adds a lot of value. There's another, so that's not on your website yet, but as we discussed a little bit previously, there's another big case study that you worked on with Transport Canada. So Nikita, maybe is that something you can share a little bit more? What was tested and what were you able to prove up on that project?
Yeah, that was a fantastic project that we did with Transport Canada. this was really from January to April.
Okay.
Where we had a large contract granted with them for over $1 million Canadian, which has been a fantastic deal. It's been a fantastic partnership to be working with such an organization.
Wow, yeah.
And yeah, we had a large scope of work with them to test our system in Arctic climates. So we had spent a couple weeks out in Churchill, Manitoba.
Okay. Yeah. It can be Arctic.
Test the drone in like supremely cold weather conditions.
Yeah.
Down to like minus 30 and below. And mind you, the drone functioned really well. And our lead pilot calls me and he's like, the drone actually just loves the cold. It actually flies better.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Interesting. So what other findings you got from this project? Well, minus 30 is C, I'm assuming, is pretty impressive. Is there any other, like, or were you testing other things?
Yeah. So we also had a testing scope to do things like bridges, rail bridges, other civil infrastructure. Just a couple weeks back, we did work involving the ports, where we were out at the port of St. John doing a large variety of port infrastructure there. Things like ships, tanks, cranes, large variety of testing that we did there. And yeah, it's been a fantastic program, fantastic partnership. And yeah, right now we're in the middle of finalizing that. So okay. Stay tuned for more updates.
Yeah, looking forward to see it appearing on the website too. Great. So one thing, so we've been talking about all the pros and the cons and so on, and the advantages that it can bring. But so can you, maybe Alex, can you walk us through what it would be to go on an inspection with the drone? So you go over there, you have the 38 DLP that sits directly on top of the drone, right? So that's the ultrasonic thickness gauge that you have to set up first, I'm assuming, and then you place it, or it's already placed, on top of the drone. And then going from there, like what does it look like exactly for an inspector that would have to go on a job today?
So part of the process, I mean, even before we even get into the flight, is the flight prep.
Okay.
Scouting locations, looking at the obstacles, taking wind readings and environmental readings, looking at the scope of the work. Any inspector is gonna do that beforehand, but I think one of the more interesting factors from my end was, I mean, going out with other inspectors when I was with Sonitest, or when I was with UniWest, and going out to jobs and looking at it, is you're looking at the areas that you're inspecting. And rather, when you're with a drone, you're looking at the areas around. What obstacles do you have around your inspection site? Are there overhanging wires? Are there walkways? What things could you potentially collide into?
What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Especially when a failure would be potentially catastrophic failure and crash a drone. So yeah. I think that was one of the things that I hadn't even considered coming from a different part of NDT. And then obviously setting up the thickness gauge, verifying that you're within Cal. And then the drone itself is actually, it's impressive to me when I joined, was how similar it was to just take off and quickly and easily access inspection areas, especially areas that were normally very difficult to get to, having to pull out ladders or scaffolding and so on and be able to go out and do the touches. But the pilots that I've worked with continue to impress me every time I see them fly. Being able to quickly take off, approach an asset, and to do a number of thickness readings in areas that would take time to get to, in various heights and various sizes and locations on the different asset. From there, it's pretty straightforward in terms of what the inspector is going to do. They're going to fly up to the drone. They're going to find their target. They're going to use the pilot assist technology to effectively find their locations and precisely take their readings, find their touches, and then return to home. And then they can take their report that maintains all of the pertinent data, the waveform, the location on the asset, all the different thickness readings that they had, as well as all of the information they would normally have on their respective reports, and then provide that to their asset owner, to their client.
I see. Okay. And you have like a camera, right, that is able to see when you go and do the thickness measurement itself on the component, and you know,
absolutely,
can be many, many feet up in the air. So obviously there's something also that you can see, and so that it's the operator that needs to watch at the same time if the contact is good. Is that what's going on, or is it a two person?
I might defer that to Nikita. So there are multiple cameras, but I'll let Nikita expand on the specifics on that.
Yeah.
So something we noticed in our early testing is the pilot and inspector work together to guide the drone into different inspection locations.
Okay.
So as Alex mentioned, during that scoping phase, the inspector would work with the pilot and be like, hey, for example, if it's like on a storage tank, we need three readings in every ring, equidistant from one another, or like, for example, the first reading has to be within a few inches of the weld seams.
Okay.
And then once that scope of work is established, they work together to collect the readings. So the pilot flies the drone, and the inspector actually sees what the pilot is seeing on an inspection computer, and there they see a live A scan as it's coming through, as the contact is being made, and they can actually communicate through the inspection computer whether that was a good contact, good reading, or if they need to hold for a bit more, or if they should move on to the next inspection location. And in there, we actually have a proprietary algorithm that uses a combination of the force data.
Okay.
So how much force it's applying and in which direction, and making sure it's perfectly flush, and the consistency of the A scan that's coming through.
Wow.
To really snip out the best A scan that it captured throughout the duration of that contact. So making reporting a lot more streamlined, so you don't have to scan through the full reading and see which one was the best one. We offer the best recommended reading, but if someone still does want to look through the data in more detail, that is also available.
The raw data is still available. Wow, that's very cool. Okay, I didn't know that that's how it worked, and that's very interesting. So Nikita, is still with you. You mentioned earlier, you know, the rope access level 2 has to do like something like, did you say 2,000 hours?
Oh, that was level 3.
Level 3. Okay. So how does it work for... So obviously that's a lot of time and making sure that you get to the level where you need to be. How does it work for a drone operator? Do they have the same type of... Is it regulated right now? Or, how does that expertise is considered or monitored?
We've noticed that a lot of companies have their own internal drone piloting procedures.
Okay.
And what we typically do, since there have been a lot of drone pilots for doing visual inspections inside a lot of these companies, we train them in the use of our drone.
Okay.
They have experience flying regular drones. Like, it's not that challenging to adopt our drone. We have a 5-day training course, and they would be certified for doing a large variety of inspections with our system.
I see. Great. Oh, that's great that you're able to offer that. And so I'm sure, you know, like, I'm sure we can see this in oil and gas for sure. Offshore is probably another really, you know, interesting place to start using these drones. What's the other types of applications? Where are you very present, or and also where do you think you might become more and more present in the future?
Predominantly, we've seen our drones mostly been used in the oil and gas sector.
Yeah.
just because of the large scope of work that's involved in that. But we've also seen interest, as you mentioned, in the offshore market, mm-hmm. Doing infrastructure inspection.
Transportation, so bridges, I guess, as well.
Transportation, yeah. And bridges, utilities. Like every day I'm in this company, every day I hear a new potential use case for our system. Really any type of steel structure needs to have some sort of thickness testing really done on it. And not a day goes by that I'm amazed of how we're dangling people off ropes trying to go collect this data.
That's right. Oh, yeah. We go through big extent to make sure that other people remain safe. And that's everything about NDT. You know, it's to create a safer world around us. So we do appreciate that you try to create a safer work environment for us. So on this, I want to thank you again, both, for taking the time to chat today, and really appreciate the insight that you brought.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciated it.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, and really appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Nikita and Alex. I think it's pretty awesome to see how new existing technologies can sometimes merge right into our industry to improve the experience and safety of the inspectors, and that it just happens to also save a ton on the inspection time. A true win-win scenario. On this, thanks for tuning in today, and as usual, thanks for what you do out there to contribute in keeping the world safe. Bye for now.